Good morning. As much as I have loved our study through Colossians 1, that's not where I'm going to be today. We're in a new calendar year, and there's something that's been on my heart for probably the last month, and it's more practical in nature. You remember in the end of Paul's writing to Timothy, he said to preach the word, and when he went on and listed, he said, and exhort. So in one true way, today is more of an exhortation about how we live and our activities and things. Maybe less preaching and more exhortation. So may the Lord really feed us and help us and shepherd His flock. Let me read three verses to you. You can turn to them if you want. These will be our theme verses that will lead in to what we're going to look at. Psalms 46. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Turn back. In the Psalms, turn back to Psalm 4, verse 4. Second verse. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Amen. Let me pray. Father, today, rule in us and over us, shepherd your flock. Help us, Lord, to learn from these passages and learn how to regulate our lives in a way that there's stillness, there's rest in God, there's deep thought, communion with you. Help the saints to help everybody here today to hear. Give them ears to hear and that we'd all know what you would have for us. Blessed be your name through Christ our Lord. Amen. If you take a sweeping look back at the 20th century, you're reminded of the amazing technological advances that came about. Now, I spoke on this topic a little over 5 years ago, but almost everybody in this room was not here. But I felt like it needs to be practically shared and spoken. Because we're now in the 21st century, and all that technology is all around us, right? Many historians in that century said it was the century of technology. And there's no doubt that countless areas in society were impacted, were helped. Communications, business systems, manufacturing, engineering, science, medicine, because of technology. One of the amazing technological inventions in the field of medicine was the pacemaker. Do you know what a pacemaker is? My mom has one now. Let me give you the technical definition. I didn't necessarily get this out of a medical journal, but a pacemaker is a medical device which uses electrical impulses. Of course, it's put by the heart inside, inserted inside. It delivers impulses by electrodes that contact the heart muscles to regulate the beating of the heart. That's one of thousands of technological advances. And so, by the grace of God, pacemakers have helped thousands of people in the regulating of the beating of their heart. Now, you're wondering, where is Philip going with this? But the downside of the 20th century technology boom is also quite real. The impact on our 21st century lifestyle is exponential. It's even harmful. I'm not talking about the pacemaker. I'm talking about the advancements of technology in the day that we're in. Now, saints, young people, Young people, listen to me today. This is your generation. Really, really listen to Philip today. Today is an admonition for all of you at different levels, wherever you are. I want you to stop. I want you to reconsider. And I want you to think about changing some things in the rhythm of your days and your weeks and how you use technology. It's just an exhortation. I want to speak on the topic of pace breakers, not pace makers. Pace breakers are those things that don't regulate the living of your Christian life. Oftentimes they do quite the contrary. If I look back around 6 years ago, this topic was polarized to me when I heard Dr. T. David Gordon speak on this theme, distracting ourselves to death. It was a very, you remember it, Jeff? Probably Jeff does, maybe Tom does, but it was a very compelling radio address that Dr. T. David Gordon gave. But if I look back even further, in the late 90s, there was a Christian family from the Kirksville Church who gave me a book, and the book was titled Margins, written by Dr. Richard Swinson, medical doctor. And that's probably when I really, really began to take interest in what he was saying, and then it was picked up again with Dr. T. David Gordon. Dr. Swinson's book, as a medical doctor, he said, I went for about 10 years and began to realize my patients are coming in. They do not have a disease by natural causes, if you want to call it that way. They have disease that are stress-induced, lifestyle-induced disease, sicknesses. And he said, I had to stop and say, what is going on in our society? So, beloved, pacemakers dominate our society. That's the day we're in. I understand that. They dominate the day that we're in. And they can dominate your life, your family, your kids, and they can suffocate you. Okay? I'm talking about the gadgets, the things that are all around us. Now, let me be clear. I want you to know this from my heart. I'm not trying to prescribe one lifestyle for all. That's not what I'm trying to do at all. I'm not trying to give us one lifestyle where nobody has electrical appliances or other means of helping in domestic life. What I am trying to do is make us all think and to look at your life and to discern how you can live the Christian life to the fullness. And you'll have to change things. You have to regulate things. You have to be careful about things. But I have to ask honestly, this is what Dr. Swinson essentially was asking, is a frazzled, overcommitted, information overload, multitasking lifestyle, is that the plan of God? Welcome to the United States of America. Get as many gadgets, be as stressed out, wired up, wired in, non-wired, whatever you want to call it, and live to the fullest. And basically, never let your mind or anything else stop because you're just absolutely pressed to the max. You're like a ceiling fan plugged in. It's turned on twice its high speed. You're just flying around. It's just America. I used to say to some colleagues, why is it that when I go to the airport, everybody's doing this and nobody gets their chin up and nobody talks? So I want to help us today. I want to briefly mention five areas in your life, in Philip's life, in my wife's life, and in the lives of all of us to consider. These are just from my heart, and they're just truths that I think hit right where we are. So if you're an 11-year-old or a 14-year-old or an 18-year-old or any age, hear what I have to say. Five areas. First, pace breakers. Pace breakers rob you of soul nourishment. God's Word says, David said, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be still. Stop. Slow down. Quit flying around. But our society that we live in says to us, get as busy as you can and forget about God. Dr. Gordon told some funny stories on that radio address about he's trying to study and gadgets are going off. Be still and know that I'm God. Saints, when you constantly live in the information overload pace, there is little time for nourishing your soul. There's just not. You need to be nourished in God. You have to be still. We have to be set apart. We have to We have to guard that aloneness, if you will. Through the years when I drive in the car, I realize that's a time to redeem. Redeem the time. It's a time to be still. I understand I have to be alert in driving. But I don't have to have things talking to me and beeping and overwhelming me. You need to be nourished in God. Be still and know that I am God. God calls us to stop, to cease, to quit scrambling, to be quiet, and to be overwhelmed by Him. Right? To be staggered by Him. Be still and know that I am God. And this is about letting your soul find fresh food and joy and delight in God, knowing Him, knowing Him through His Word, reading it. This means you have to turn things off. It's just amazing that how practical this really is. It means that we have to turn things off if we have them in the first place. Krista said to me before they left, you know, they've gone on with a lot of my grown kids, and they're some time away, and I'll be joining them, God willing, this week. She said, do you need me to leave that little iPad here? I don't need it. She smiled. She knew that's exactly what I meant. I don't need it. I'm not going to be using it. It was awfully quiet at our house last night. And it was wonderful. Be still and know that I am God. Saints, turn things off at the right time. Learn to regulate these things. The gadgets. The emails. Beep, beep. Everybody sitting in the room, beep, everything beeps. Everybody's. The text messages. The web surfing. And the cell phone chatter. Just regulate it. It robs us. It robs our soul from nourishment that we need in our great Savior, in His Word, in just knowing Him. Because you're constantly being beeped at. You can turn them off and live through it. You can. It's been proven. You can do it. We collaborated a few years ago with an architect out of Portland. I'm sorry, out of Seattle. Very talented guy. And he would come by himself when we were working on a project. And at that time, they were not letting anybody keep any of the devices on for a certain time on an airplane. And he said, Philip, I've just grown to love it because it's the only time I'm completely powered off on everything. He said, I read, I make notes. I'm thinking, hello, you realize what you're saying? Turning things off gives you time to think, meditate, contemplate, and it's good for us. We need to be still and know that He is God. We need to withdraw. You know, the Lord Jesus said to His men, let us draw away for a while. You talk about being pressed in. Our great Savior sought His Father in the night, early in the morning, way before the sun came up. He communed with God. It was said about Hudson Taylor, the sun never came up in China for all those years that he was not up with his God in prayer. Now that's a statement. He communed with God. He nourished his soul. Gadgets have their place. It's wonderful to be able to exchange information. But if you turn things off, you can meditate more and more on a great and glorious God and Savior who is active, who is with you, who speaks to you. Listen again to what David said. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. You see the picture. Be still and know that I am God. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. It's a very, very practical thing. This will feed your soul. And this is the nourishment that you need. That's the ultimate nourishment. It fuels us to be able to be about the business, meaning the day-to-day activities that God called us to. Nourishing ourselves in God, in Christ, is the fuel, is the grace we need to keep going in everything else we're called to. He is the main course. Amen. So pacebreakers can rob you of soul nourishment. Nourish yourself. Be still. Turn things off. Second, pacebreakers rob you of thought nourishment. Thought, the mind, the meditation, the contemplation of staying with something. A pacebreaker that's interrupting and dominating your life breaks up your ability to think. God's Word said, "That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." That's what Isaiah said. I know that's a principle there. I'm not looking at the full of what Isaiah was speaking to, but the principle is that the man who thinks on him, whose mind is on him, has peace. He has truth. He has reality of God's promises, who God is. God is with him. His mind being stayed on him. That means we're to be Godward in our thinking, right? We're to be God-centered. I had a young engineer come to be with me the other day. He was wanting to have some mentoring time. He sought it out, and so we were talking. And at the end, I said, "Well, maybe there's one thing I'll give you as you go today. You want some truths to live by." I said, "Here's a three-part thing that years ago that some other men that I knew and loved that they would share, and that is when we're facing things in life, when we're about to make decisions, directions, whatever. Number one, where's the glory of God in this? Number two, is it Christ-centered or is it man-centered? Number three, what do the Scriptures say about it?" He said, "You have something I can write that down with?" I said, "Yeah." So he wrote it down. Thoughts, the mind stayed on thee, thinking on him, being still, having peace, letting his truth stay with us. Run it out. That means, beloved, you have to have mental concentration, mental continuity to think on God, to think on Scriptures, to think on truth, to walk in truth. You don't just get it in little sound bites. The gospel life is not a sound bite lifestyle. The gospel life is full and deep and rich. It's a well deeper than men could go to the bottom of. It's an ocean full of truth. You don't get it in little token calendar pages and little billboard sayings. You get it when you meditate on Him. You commune with Him. Your mind is stayed on Him. That's how the big things come. The big things that nourish us and build us up. Shape everything we think about and how we view subjects. So if it's going to have mental concentration, that means that you hold a thought and you stay with it in a linear way. Teachers all over our country would say, "Well, we have students now, they can't hold a thought. They're too restless." Dr. T. David Gordon spoke about that. They can't hold anything very deep. They take little bits and pieces. They know a little bit about Christopher Columbus. They know a little bit about this, and they know a little bit about that. They don't have any subject with any depth, because they're not taught to do anything in any depth. They just get little bits and pieces of information. "Oh, I need to find a fact. Boom, boom, I Google it. I get a little fact." They don't understand the bigger picture. What's the Reformation? "Oh, it's just a big event that occurred. There were some differences." What? You wouldn't have the United States of America in a sense if the Reformation hadn't occurred. I mean, you've got to trace these things back. Big event. You've got to know things. The big things are the things of God, and you have to stay with it. You have to have linear, constant, uninterrupted thinking. Stayed on thee. Stayed upon Jehovah. Resting on Him. Anchored on Him. And one great way of doing this is reading. If you're going to nourish your thinking, you've got to read. Reading engages your thinking and keeps you moving along. Reading, it's feeding you, but you stay with it. You got any 1,000 or 1,500 page biographies on your shelf? Not just everybody goes and grabs those these days and reads them. You got to get more. You got to condense them. Hey, Stephen Lawson. "Steve, really? Can you really put Whitfield's life in about 150 pages? "No, Philip, you can't. But I know more people will read it." Good thought. But the point is, read. Feed your mind or build up your mind and your thinking by reading. Stay with it. Let it go. Turn things off. Big deal if your phone's off for an hour. Big deal. You can't do that if you're constantly being interrupted. Our society thrives off the constant barrage of blip thoughts. The sound bites of information, right? Incredible. And I know there's ways that people communicate a little differently now, the pace and all. But the principle's the same. We have to be still. We have to pull aside. We have to draw away. We have to do what the Lord Jesus did. We have to be set apart. We have to commune with Him on our bed. We have to think. Our mind stayed on Him. So we're nourishing our soul, but our mind is being informed and taught. This interrupted pattern in kids learning today is going to be catastrophic. It could be. I think Dr. Gordon is way more qualified to talk to this. But the trend is literally changing the way young people think, or the lack thereof. They cannot concentrate or dig deeper and go further and further in one topic. They get restless. They get tired. They don't want to stay with it. Amazing. The reality of this. And it's happening all over the world, not just America, but gadgets all over the world. And so concentration is not even really promoted, if you will. How about this? Churches that promote texting each other while the sermon is going on. It's actually happened, saints. Instead of those people being thinking deeply on what God's Word says, what is the truth that He is giving us? And people are told by the leadership in these very loose, whatever you want to call them, they're going to call themselves churches, whatever. They're told to text each other while the sermon's going on. Can you imagine that? This is not some sort of a talent show, critique show. It's no small thing to hear God's Word. To let His Word come with force. Let it overwhelm you. Let it come with help, encouragement. What does the godly man do in Psalm 1? In his law doth he what? Meditate day and night. See that? In His law, in His ways, in His truth, does He meditate day and night? So yes, brothers, sisters, young people, you need thought nourishment. You need to know how to keep your mind stayed upon Him, your thoughts. Third, pace breakers rob you of relationship nourishment. I do like it when my wife's phone is off, I have to admit. She gets a lot of needs to come her way. A lot of care, a lot of ministry within the home and outside the home. Different ages, different needs, different days. But just to have relationship nourishment requires prolonged or time together. Consider this in relationships. God speaks to His children. Christians share their lives with each other. And husbands and wives cultivate time together. All of these are relationships, aren't they? All of them. They're all relationship-based. God speaks. God draws us away by His Spirit. He speaks to us through His Word. His Holy Spirit is with us. He guides us in the truth. He opens things fresh to us. His Word comes like the entrance or the beginning of light. And it's relationship. He sheds abroad His love in our heart by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. He teaches us. He guards us. He sings over us. He speaks truth. It's relationship. Relationships have to be nourished. They have to be kept alive. They are personal. Christians share their lives with each other. I would much rather sit down, be with you, share with you, laugh with you, pray with you, than just send messages back and forth. My goodness. That's not very relational. And I know with my dear wife, I'd rather be with her anytime, anywhere than anybody. She's my closest friend and companion and joint heir in the faith. And it's relational. Gadgets, pace breakers, break relationships. Or they change them. They reset the ground rules. Can you imagine, this is true, Can you imagine that husbands and wives, they sit in their bed and they email and text others? Now, if you've done that before, it's all right. It's fine. If you had to send a note. But I'm talking about this has become their pattern. He's there, she's there, and they're sending through cyberspace. They're texting and keeping up with others. Am I? Surely I'm not that old-fashioned. Come on. Really? It's relational. Being together. A survey showed that couples do that. And God is the God of relationship, right? God redeems us to Himself, as Nick wonderfully said about adoption. We're brought in as sons and daughters of the Most High. He relates to us. We're like Mephibosheth. You remember Mephibosheth? Jonathan's son. And David took him in. Mephibosheth was crippled. And after Jonathan was killed, David took him in. And he said to Mephibosheth, "You'll dine at my table from here on. You're like a son to me." That's what Jesus Christ does to us. He's brought us nigh to God. It's relationships. It's relational with Him. So this thing of I communicate and I'm just caught up in all this stuff flying around, I just want you to think today. I want you to stop. I want you to think of these things. I want you all to talk about it together, meaning individually, couples, whatever. I want you to let this sink in. Young people, I want you to hear what I'm saying. Don't be shaped into the mold of this society in that full way. You may end up having all kinds of technology that you use or need at times, but you've got to monitor it. Texting sends data. Talking builds relationships. No relationship is ultimately built up, fostered, and truly made alive simply through some electronic means. It has to be personal. It has to be heartfelt. It has to be together. There is an art to building and maintaining relationships. It takes energy. Generally speaking, guys, we're pretty lousy at it by our general nature. Don't want to burst any bubbles in here, gentlemen. But you better open up. If you're going to have good relationships, I promise you, young man, you want to have a good relationship with your wife, you better put something in on it. Don't just think it happens automatically. I guarantee you that. Relationships take energy, effort. You have to be sincere. You have to be heartfelt. You have to give yourself. I am vigilant about wanting a great relationship with my wife because I love her. Jesus Christ is vigilant of His love for me. You get the picture? Our youngest daughter that's born, Bethany, came by to make peanut brittle a few weeks ago. Some of y'all heard me tell this funny story. Pulls her car in right when I got home. I'm on the back porch. She opens the door. "Hey, Dad, your favorite's here." She smiles. For those of you who know Bethany, I smile back. "No, I don't have any favorites. Mom's my favorite." And then I got all the rest of y'all. "Oh, I know, Dad, I know." We know that. Talking, sharing, opening up builds relationships. Texting and all that, it's not it. Be careful because you're being overwhelmed. You're in conversations with your husband, your children, your family, a brother or sister, and things are going off. It's being interrupted. Oh, beloved, I'm not trying to be bossy or mean-spirited at all. I'm just trying to get our attention. There is an art to building and maintaining really good relationships. But sadly, people relate from afar. They're afar. They view technology as this, I send this missile out or whatever. And so this relationship is weird. It's synthetic. It's artificial in a sense because you can only get so far with that kind of exchange of information. And young people or people today are failing in one-on-one relationships because they live in a electronic world. People that are researching this could get into a lot more detail about how it affects the human brain and our activity. Candidly, people hide behind gadgets. They hide behind them. You don't reconcile something with somebody you care for through email and text messaging, okay? When I make things right with my wife or my children, I go to them. I ask them to forgive me. I'm sorry, I was wrong. Sometimes I go up those stairs at our house. and I have to go make something right with Jesse. I don't send Jesse a letter or a text message. I go make it right with him. If I've done something that I'm aware of that I offend Jeff or Lee or Mac or one of you, I want to make it right. I'm not going to send you a text message to make it right. I'm going to try to talk to you, at least by phone, if not be with you. I don't think that this is out of date, is it? Don't hide behind gadgets. Have an open heart. Dr. Gordon told the story about when the university that he was teaching at, that half of the freshman guys stayed in their room during the semester alone and played video games by themselves. Half or more. It was documented. Amazing. Video games. No wonder everybody gets caught up in sci-fi movies and stuff that's out there. They're not even living in time and space in reality. Come on. This is relationship. God is a God who relates to people. God sent His Son to redeem them to Himself. Christ is with us. That's amazing that that's affected even the independence or individuality of people where they just depart from cultivating being together. God intends our relationships to include sharing, laughing, crying, encouraging, and enjoying one another. I mean, there's a reason why we sit up here and we have that fun game that we did 2 weeks ago. And we got Lee and this team over here, and we got Mac and that rowdy bunch over there, and then we got David and Brian and those guys there. We do it because it's relationship building. Y'all know that, but it's just so fun to be together and laugh and enjoy it. It's being together. So, saints, soul nourishment, thought nourishment, relationship nourishment. Don't let these pace breakers ruin that. Regulate them. Fourth, I'll move on. Pace breakers rob you of sensory nourishment. I wish I could have Mr. and Mrs. Lee Dodd talk about sensory nourishment after their wonderful trip together. Brethren, God made us to see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. Which means He's put things around us. Fresh fruit, sunrises, mountains, wind that blows, and trees that wave, and the ocean. He's put those around us for us to behold. Consider what He said to Job. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Job 37:14. Go back and read Job 37. The verses before, the verses after that. God is speaking to Job about all of these things that He's made. He's telling Job, behold these things. Lightning, thunder, snow, rain, the beasts of the field, frost, clouds, wind. It's in the chapter. Go back. You read it. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still. This is the Almighty. This is the God who created all, rules all. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Those things are constant declarations that the heavens declare the glory of God. He is, He rules, He's majestic, He's everlasting. And He makes these things for us to behold. And fruit, fresh fruit, and vegetables, and things that we get to partake in. Oh, beloved, our senses to be built up or to be nourished in Him. That's why people would disconnect and power down and power off more. They can behold and take things in. It's their part of their humanity. It's how God made us. You see, saints, God's wondrous creation is to be enjoyed. It's to be awe-stunning, awe-striking to us that when we behold it, we're just overwhelmed. Take it in. If God takes pleasure in it, why don't you? I mean, if you told friends or this week that if you knew the sunsets were going to happen on these cold nights in the last 20 minutes, you knew it was going to be clear enough, you say to them, your phone, everything's off. iPad, everything. Everything's off last 20 minutes of sunset. You do not get to turn that on. You have to sit outside or sit by the window and watch the sunset. People would go, Nick, are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. If God takes pleasure in it, why don't you? Our senses are to be overwhelmed in delighting in our great God. Take time to watch the sunrise and the sunset. Listen to the birds sing. That's what the hymn writer said, "How great thou art." When I hear the birds singing, when I feel the gentle breeze, the brook, when I consider the mountains, right? Listen to the birds sing, the crashing of the ocean, and countless other things. This morning when I woke up, it was cold. I turned our thermostats way down. I didn't have the rest of the gang there, right? I got the house almost too cold, Brian. I was like, woo! And I opened those blinds, and I thought, I wanted to see the frost. It was 24 or something out at our house. I wanted to see the frost on the ground. It's something that just moves me. I know, I may be the one in here that needs some help, but I love it. It's great. I love it. God's in it. He says His mercies are new like the dew every morning. The dew, beloved, is a proclamation to you that God will show mercy to you on a daily basis. Think of that. Smell the flowers. Yes, the old statement. Stop and smell the roses. Be good for you, Nick, Jake. We'll do it together. They got some probably out here in this garden out here that's between the two buildings. Smell the roses and the flowers or the forest of leaves. I bet Nathan could probably tell some neat stories of when he goes places and all of a sudden you're in the mountains or somewhere and you just have these aromas. You know, there's these evergreen trees or whatever. When we were Grand Canyon or one of those places, we got into a stretch of evergreens. And Jesse said, "Dad, oh, that smell." Yes. Be nourished in that. My handheld doesn't nourish me like that. Handheld's giving information, stuff, but it's not nourishing me. You getting the point? Soak up the gentle breeze or feel the water on your feet. We're so high strung and spread out, we can't even do that. We get too uptight. We get too wired up. Too many things going on. Too many interruptions. Too many things. We're just frazzled. I understand. Been there. I understand it. I have to battle these things too. I don't speak as one that's conquered and all that. I speak it as a man who's trying to learn more and more how to regulate. The urban technology-driven life never takes time to experience deep stimuli. Not really. And sadly, children's development is being stunted by this disconnect from the natural world. It's been proven. There's a tremendous book written by a journalist called Last Child in the Woods. It really relates to the field I'm in my vocational work. And he touches on some data and some child development specialists and all, that they're being disconnected from the things around them, the natural world, and they become so urbanized and so limited that it changes the totality of their development. It harms them. He gave some incredible stories of children that were, in a sense, liberated when they took them into a natural environment. Some juvenile young people that were really into crime and all kinds, and they took them up into the mountains or something, and a couple of them just reformed them. It's like something happened. It wasn't regeneration, but even in that, there was a sense of their human experience changed. Who wants the Discovery Channel when you can go out and be immersed in God's creation? God wants us to take delight in it. Try it. Try sensory nourishment. Touch, smell, hear, taste. Lastly, fifth, pacebreakers will rob you of creativity nourishment. All right, brothers, I'm not going to make you start doing crafts and finger painting or anything like that. Stay with me. Pacebreakers rob you of creativity nourishment. This is different than the sensory. The sensory is experiential. Touch, hear, feel, taste. We're talking about creativity. God creates and it reflects His majesty. It displays a part of who He is, His character. He creates. You call it His creative splendor, His majesty in His creation. And man, you and I, at our level, have been endued by our Maker to have a certain amount of creativity within us, capability. I think it's Schaefer, one of those men called it creative energy. The ability to think and come up with things. Yes, even gadgets, men who've come up with gadgets. But to think of the magnificent works of creative thought through the centuries, the millenniums, by men and women. Incredible. Well, that comes from our Maker. God endues us with creative energy. We need to tap into it more. I challenged my whole family. We went to the state fair in the fall. I said, next year. All right, everybody, Jesse, Michaela, Jalen, Krista, Philip, we're all going to enter something in the state fair in those craft displays. We're going to all have to, Dad, yes, we're going to do it. All of us. No exceptions. I reminded them of it the other day, and Michaela, somebody said, oh, I thought you'd forgotten about that. Isn't that funny? No, I hadn't forgotten about that. We're going to do things, create things. We're going to think like others have through the years. You're thinking, well, what? How does this apply to me? You just think about it. When you're consumed by technology, it distracts or it stifles you from having those kinds of creative interests. Think of the ways that creative energy can show forth the glory of God. Think of this. And has through history. Writing books, poetry, and letters. That's just one. Writing books, poetry, and letters. Do you not like the writings of John Bunyan? Last time I checked, C.S. Lewis, what's the other guy, Lord of the Rings guy? Tolkien. Pretty popular fan base, right? Goes back to, there's a creative thought, creative composition of things. Books and poetry and letters. John Bunyan, Samuel Rutherford's letters. Oh, incredible. The letters from Stonewall Jackson to his wife while he was off at war. You brothers want some manly stuff, wonderful stuff. Go get that. It's in paperback. And Stonewall Jackson was a man's man. He was writing these letters full of faith and the glory of God and love and commitment and courage. It's just phenomenal. Another area for creativity nourishment. You being more and more expanded in this. Write music, singing, playing an instrument. I laughingly pick on myself all the time. I wasted my young years playing basketball and I could have learned to play an instrument. Man, think of the edification for you and others. You give it, yeah, okay, you can play basketball. I'm not prohibiting you. I'm not saying that. But be more rounded, guys and girls. Be more broad in your advancing yourself and creativity. God's formed you. Do it for His glory. Fanny Crosby, 8,000 hymns and poems. 8,000. That's prolific, to say the least. Charles Wesley, Philip Bliss, and many, many, many others that we are so blessed by. Saints, God's given us their labor that edifies us. You read the Holy War, or you read Pilgrim's Progress, or you read something else like that, and they give those allegories, and you're helped, and God ministers to you. Those men or those women in their day did it under God, and God has used it. We're not talking about trivial things here, saints. We're talking about something that can be so life-impacting for you, your children, and others. Y'all may have heard I leave those little pictures and little notes to my grandsons and my kids, little notes and funny. It's my love language to them. They see and they immediately think of their pops. I connect to them that way. Lastly, on creativity nourishment, drawing and painting, and yes, even crafts. It's going to be so good. The design professions, for the most part, are absolutely ruled by pagan man-centered people. I'm just going to tell you. Sculpture, painting, stage, the screen, architecture, name it. Just generally speaking, been around long enough, I can promise, are ruled by pagans. Where are the Christians that rise up to the glory of God and create things for His name's sake? Where are they? Don't hold back. Run with God. Be a servant of His. And that may mean you're in one of those fields. When I was in undergraduate school, I had to take a class that had to be non-drawing or whatever. And I took a metalworks class. Y'all heard this story? Tom may have. And we had to take things. Copper was a very soft, is a soft metal, and you could shape things. And on one thing I tried to make a three-dimensional representation of the tomb having been empty. My instructor, what are you making? The resurrection. I'm like 22 years old or something. Yeah, huh. So I kept working on it. And so, in a sense, I wanted even that art form, that composition to have a bigger reality to it. God did have him build the tabernacle and the temple. He had a few details on that. He had his glory on display in his own way in that. So I'm just saying, be creative. If all we're ever doing is tapped into technology, sometimes you don't even know your own talent. God willing, in a few weeks, we're going to sing a song that Sister Valerie wrote about out of Colossians. It's awesome. I couldn't believe it when I saw it, heard it. It's wonderful. It's going to be so edifying. Christian's been singing it and carrying it around the house the last few days. It's been wonderful. Going over our piano, Valerie, she's playing it. It's wonderful. Glory to God. Johnny Erickson Tata. Quadriplegic. You ever seen her artwork? You ever seen pictures of her with the paintbrush in her mouth? How does a quadriplegic do such majestic things? She has Christ. She has the nearness of God. She's got Him with it, and she's just given herself to it. Oh, beloved, we should all apply ourselves to this. We should all be asking, what creative way can I display the glory of God? How can I do more of that? Let me close. That's why I said this is really more of an exhortation. And it's where we are. It's where we live. And I want to help us all. I want to help myself. I want to be a reminder to myself. All of us need to take inventory and see where pace breakers are robbing us in our daily life. Talk as a couple. Talk as a family. Talk with your children. Those of you who are single, think about it. Talk to others. Pray about it. Be mindful of what is getting out of whack in your life, out of balance. Try to get free from some things. And take time for soul nourishment. Be still and know that He is God. For thought nourishment, commune, right, with Him in your mind. Relationship nourishment, sensory nourishment. The things He's made for our enjoyment. And last, creativity and nourishment. Expressing yourself in different creative ways, artistic ways, to the glory of God. May God help us. Amen. Let me pray. Father, we want to be still. We want to slow down. We want to have moments that are just set apart. Lord, we need it. You've said to us to cease from busyness. And oftentimes, Lord, we're so gripped by it, we don't even know that there's such a thing to stop. But you've said to us to be still, to slow down, pull aside, and to be with you. I pray you'd give much encouragement to the brothers and sisters here. I pray you'd help some of the children and the young people to really today be struck by the realities of these things, that they would be helped, that you would change their lives more and more according to your ways, that we could be fruitful, abounding in the work of the Lord. But, Lord, help us not to be consumed in wrong things, but to be set upon Thee, to be stayed upon our God and our great Savior. Through Christ we ask. Amen.
There are a few announcements. One is prayer meeting this week in Benton and in the East. And I can't remember, is it the Wholesalers or the Randalls? At the Randalls home. Those are two prayer meetings. Tonight, we do have men's study. We'll be back at the God's home at 5:30. And we'll pick up on the last chapter we left off on with the Behold Your God series. And also, very importantly, and we'll send an email out re-communicating this week, but next week we won't be meeting in this room. We'll be actually at the hotel we were at in April, I think it was. It's in Denton at Brinker and I-35, the Hilton Garden Inn. We've secured that room again. We won't have a meal, and we won't have the morning Bible study either. We'll meet at 11 o'clock. They'll have some coffee and tea, water, things like that as well. But other than that, we're going to meet there for worship. So we'll send out recommunications and directions and things like that as well. Also, seems like there's one more thing. The men's retreat is coming up, and it's on January 22nd and 23rd, which is coming up soon. So I think what we'll do is we'll send an email out, whether you, myself, maybe Lee, we'll send an email out so that we can get a head count. But I understand it's not going to cost anyone anything. We'll be at Camp Copus. We'll spend the night, Friday night, and probably half of the day, Saturday, together. And these are very rich, edifying times. So if you're able to come, please do. So that's coming up, January 22nd and 23rd. So, does anyone have anything they want to announce or share at all?
Women's study.
Well, women's study.
For Thursday at Linda's house.
It's going to be at Linda's house, Mac and Linda's house, Thursday, women's study. This week. Yes, Michelle, you're coming.
Which chapters are we on in women's study division?
You're asking me?
Yes.
In the Philippians book?
Yes.
Someone know?
15 and 16 is the lesson. I asked the wrong
question. Did you get your question answered?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what was the answer in case someone over here didn't hear it?
15 and 16.
15 and 16, chapter 15 and 16. Nick?
The conference is almost full. Nobody has signed up yet.
Good. The conference, the fellowship conference, which we have every Easter weekend, is almost full. I think they're allotting 800 people to sign up just so it doesn't get out of hand. And so if you have not registered for that, please go to IllBeHonest.com. I think Mac also sent an email out communicating with the link attached. And register if you want to come. You do need to do that soon. I don't have much else to say on that. Yes, Ron.
I
Costa Rica Children's Home, and it is a good ministry. Okay, so it's more focused on Mexico at this time. So that's on the table. Anything else? Okay, well, let's enjoy fellowship together. But first, let me read Aaron's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.